So I was driving home today, and I looked over to my left, and there was a homeless dude in the little median, and he had the sign, and so you did the awkward, like, I'm not going to look at you thing, even though I know you're staring at me, and I'm the only person at this light right now. And then I looked over to my right, and at the other median, and the light that was to the right of me, there was a homeless guy in that median walking around asking for change and shit, too. Mm-hmm. And then I looked forward, and there was a homeless guy in that median, and he was doing the same shit. And then I was like, there's no way. And I looked at the fourth stoplight of the four-way stoplight. There was another homeless man there.
Well, yeah.
But they hit up all four corners. Like, I've never seen where they were all just booked. You know, like, I've seen, like, maybe two. But, like, usually I thought they had, like, a territorial thing. I don't know.
I'm curious if there's somebody who's renting those spots to them.
They have, like, some, like, higher power up that they have to go to. And yeah, just keeping them homeless because they're having to pay their debt to that person so they can have the best spot.
Possibly, or like an overlord.
Digging themselves into a hole.
Yeah, like an overlord of the corners. Be like, yeah, it's just, I mean, I bet you there is.
I've just never seen them all booked, like all filled. And like, what's weird to me is that there's the guys holding the sign saying, hey, I need money, or here's my sorry story, or whatever, like may or may not be true. But then you have the guy that's 10 feet or 20 feet behind them that's waving the sign. It's like, hey, furniture sale! Fingers Furniture! Come on down! And you have that guy doing that, and you're like, that guy's getting... I know people do that for, like, $10 an hour. You're like, maybe you guys, like, you guys both like to hold signs. Why don't you go find that job, huh?
Yeah, you could do that.
Like, you're doing the same shit. You're good at it, obviously.
Yeah.
And I bet you make a little bit more money.
Yeah, I mean, at least you would make steady.
Yeah, hourly wages.
Yeah, I mean, but you never know how much they make on the corner. I mean, in high metro...
How much do you think they make?
I have no clue. No, I have no way to gauge that. There's no way to... I mean, like, there's not like a... I mean, I guess you could do a weighted
average.
That's
just like a...
But,
that's a ballsy move, though, to be like, I am not going to work. I'm going to quit my job. Or just not get a job. I'm going to stand on the street corner looking dirty and holding up a sign with some story... Assuming people are going to give me money, and that's what I'm going to live
on. I mean,
off.
Yeah, I mean, there's just different circumstances. I don't know.
I just feel like there's so many other ways you could go about, like, I don't know, about, like, not being homeless. You know, like, there's places, people, you got friends, right?
That's just debatable. I mean, it's just, it all has to do with a certain person's, like, psyche, I think, and then, you know, obviously they're, I don't know, but... Yeah, homeless people. And I don't really know what else to say about
them. You know what else I was thinking when I saw all these homeless people there? What would be a better way to promote this podcast than to have a ton of Pass the Gravy podcast shirts? Like, put the website on the back and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The logo, whatever. Maybe our faces, perhaps. I don't know. We'd make it nice. And just give them to the homeless people on the side of the road. Be like, please wear this. And just, like... People are just driving, like, why are all these homeless guys wearing the same shirt? Are they, like, on a team?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
What
do
they
do?
Well, I'll go to this website and see what it is.
Yeah,
and
low cost.
Boom. What the fuck am I listening to?
Low cost.
This
and
is offensive.
Possibly high return. It just, I mean, but the thing is like, you have to think about, yes, but who's going to legitimize? That's not a legitimate, like, source to, like, have somebody, like, wear that, if that makes any sense. Like... It's just, like, consider the source. It's like, well, they're wearing... A homeless person's wearing it rather
no,
than...
No, but I'm saying just to get, like, people to go check out or, like, the name to...
Yeah.
The name to be spread around somewhat.
Yeah.
Like, if you see three homeless guys wearing the same shirt with a website on it, you might go to that website.
And they would be passing the gravy. If they were wearing
what
the
if
shirt.
We gave them a ladle of gravy just to hold? Like, just kind of act weird. Here's $10.
It's not a metaphor.
It
it's a literal expression at this point.
And, like... If the next time somebody doesn't give you any money, just throw the gravy on them. Like, pass the fucking gravy!
You could. Yeah, you can make it a more literal thing rather than just a metaphor for, you know, just paying it forward, I suppose. But we would be paying it forward. We'd be clothing the homeless.
And that's really all we ever wanted.
What can
to
you
do.
Ask for besides shelter, food, and clothing?
Crabs rides. We covered that last
time. Oh, yeah, we did.
We've made zero progress.
Zero progress.
We're actually going to make some Crabs Rights shirt.
Yeah.
Claws up, don't shoot. That's what it's going to say. gosh. And you can buy it at pastthegravypod.com.
All right.
You can't really buy it at
pastthegravypod.com. No, that's why.
Don't really go there. All right, let's start the podcast.
Okay.
Is this even recording?
I'm a working man. I gotta pay my bills.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Oh, look at me! The millionaire who goes to see doctors!
You should just smile and follow me!
You filthy animal.
What is this, a prey? The game is cold, but
it's crazy. And don't you ever forget, you're free to do what we tell you.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
The only thing I think of when I think of my kids growing up in this country, if they say, Dad, what do we have left that's American-owned? And I say, son, I mean, there's not much to choose from, but that's what we have Pabst Blue Ribbon for.
Child, please.
Howdy, folks. Welcome back to the podcast. It's just Alex and Cole this week. Curtis is no longer with us.
Nope, he's gone.
That's all you have to say? You seem a little bit excited that he's not here.
No, it's not that. No, what is that supposed
to
mean?
You celebrating that he's gone?
No, I'm not celebrating at all.
Is this your big break?
My big break? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, sure, it's my big day.
Time to step into the spotlight.
Time to step into the spotlight and really just let my voice be heard in a metaphorical and literal sense.
Would you ever step into the spotlight and try and get eaten by a snake in front of a live TV audience?
Would I ever...
I don't know, maybe not live TV audience, or in front of a TV audience at some point in time.
No, I would not. I'm terrified
but
of
what
snakes.
What if you had, like, a suit that was, like, crush-proof and, like... lacerate proof and whatever, snake proof completely.
What? This sounds really familiar.
Oh, yeah, like, I think like last week they had this thing. I just found out about it, so I'm a little late getting to it, but they, some dude was like, hey, I'm just gonna go get eaten by a snake.
Mm-hmm.
And all these animal rights activists were all pissed, like, this might harm the snake, blah, blah, blah. And apparently he had the thing where he was gonna be able to wear the suit and go in and get to come back out. And they said that he had done it practicing before.
Okay. He's been practicing.
He had practiced it and done it one time before, but it wasn't filmed, so he was going to do this one on the TV, and it apparently didn't work out.
It didn't work?
He pissed off a lot of people, let's just say that, because mm-hmm. the show was called Eaten Alive.
Okay.
Which would make you think mm-hmm. you would see somebody get eaten alive. And... the snake, like, bit to his head, and he said his arm was, like, feeling like he was about to break, and couldn't feel his arm and everything, and then he called in for help.
So
he said he's calling it, and that was it.
Okay, so this is a live... Oh, no, this is a pre-recorded stunt that's been on TV. And,
yes.
Okay, and so it was a two-hour event, I think on, like, Discovery or something like that. So... what happened is, I mean, we've seen these before with David Blaine.
Yeah, he did that thing where he was like, oh, I'm going to go in the water for like 10 minutes and hold my breath and come out of these chains.
Right.
And then it was like, he's going to do it or he's going to die.
Right.
And he couldn't do it, and they opened it up and saved him. And it's like, if you're going to get eaten alive and you're either going to die
mm-hmm.
trying, it's like, get rich or die trying. Like, 50 well, Cent summed it up pretty
yeah,
quickly. Yeah,
and the thing is like, to me, there's really, when I see somebody... that's doing something like this, it's more so just a novelty, which I guess the guy I'm about to mention, that Nicholas Willenda, he does the man on the wire. He walks across on the tightrope across, like, through high rises,
yeah,
like the Grand Canyon.
But his whole family is kind
the
of
flying Willendas, yeah.
That way.
That, yeah, his whole family has been doing that. So, and that's been televised, but when it comes to that, that's actually, like, showcasing a skill. And, yeah, it is a stunt, but that's all this boils down to, is just a guy that was trying
to... Do you watch stuff like that?
No, I don't care.
I watched the Walinda one. I was just like, dude, if this guy falls, what's
yeah.
going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to him talk about it, and I'm familiar with him enough, but, like, I don't think that it's going to... I'm not going to tune in ever to watch something like that. This doesn't interest me.
Well, reading in about it, I found out that, like, people were saying a lot of it could have been fake. Like, they said that he was talking about finding a 250-pound... anaconda he had uh-huh. come across before, so they were looking, like, all around the rainforest, which is fucking huge, to find, like, one anaconda he's seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they settled for another one, but some people said they thought that it was possibly just staged, maybe.
I'm sure it was.
Let me toss this one here, or hey, look, we found this one earlier. Why don't we just stumble upon it?
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was there, but it's just reality TV. It's all right. It is. Yeah, of course, it was scripted, and you know. And then it had an anti-climax. The thing is, with a show like that, you have to think about, like, okay, they got you to watch. They got their advertisers to pay for the commercial slots because it had all this hype. There was a hashtag I saw on Twitter. That's how I found about it, I saw the hashtag on Twitter. Hashtag eating alive. And so when they get to the point, they're like, they've already got your money. It was a bait and switch. Yeah. They've already gotten you to watch. They don't really
need you.
They got
the ratings.
They got the ratings. And, you know, and with the ratings, that'll give that guy a springboard to do possibly another stunt 6 months from now.
Oh, if he did that again and anybody else even tuned in, mm-hmm. I'd just be disappointed.
He's just looking for his name to get out there, and more power to him. I can't say I wouldn't do the same thing, but I would try to have it be more organic than just, oh, well, you know, the snake ate me once. And
it didn't even eat him. It like, got to his, like, bit him on the head.
On the TV show.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I don't know. I just think that it's just publicly just not open.
Would
to
you rather
case.
Watch a guy get eaten by a snake or somebody punch Drake?
Well, somebody did punch Drake.
Did they? Yeah, you were telling me about it.
Yeah.
Well, was it? It was P. Diddy.
Diddy punched Drake for making a comment
but
about
he,
his.
Is he Diddy now?
Yes.
He didn't go back.
No, he's I Diddy. Thought, he's okay. Diddy. He's Diddy. Okay. Yeah, he got punched after. You know, I think he made some comment to his girlfriend or something like that.
And just socked him.
It just socked him apparently outside of a nightclub, which doesn't—it's just not—it's not a surprising thing. I mean, they probably had a few drinks.
Well, really, Drake's Canadian, so you would think he'd be friendlier than that.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he's just not—he's not. I mean, I hate this sucks. I hate name dropping, but I've literally encountered Drake, and he is not friendly.
Whoa!
At all. He's just not. I'm just saying, like, I can. Not that I, like, had a personal conversation with him, but yeah, I've
How
seen...
How was he not friendly? Like, what did he do?
Just blew right past
Didn't
him.
Didn't want to talk to you?
Yeah. It's. I mean, there's a bunch of different... And I get it, but it just... You could just tell. It just wasn't the circumstances. He was there to party, not duty. I thought he was going to do
that. I would party, too, if I started from the bottom.
Right, yeah. So
got all the way there.
Yeah, Drake, he got punched, and it, you know, it's just kind of like a couple months ago or whatever, whenever Orlando Bloom charged Justin Bieber and Leonardo DiCaprio was in the wings, like, cheering on Orlando Bloom to kick Justin Bieber's ass or whatever. But I find that way more entertaining than Drake getting punched in the face. I mean, I don't know why.
I don't know, I still think it's funny if Drake...
Yeah, I do, too. I'm very curious to see what his Instagram account is looking like today, see if he posted a picture of his... His shiner or anything like that. I mean, I very seriously doubt that, but...
Dude, I hope so. He wouldn't do that.
No.
He'd probably put some makeup on it or some shit like that.
No, Drake is... He's a polarizing figure, but he's also easy to make fun of. People make fun of him all the time, so... You know, I just think this is just one more thing, but it also kind of just seems like, oh, it's typical that they would find something like this, the media, and skew it to make Drake kind of look like a punk, which, you know, no press is bad press, because, I mean, look, even guys like us, we're talking about Drake.
Well, actually, I heard about something that might be bad press, and that is possibly falsifying rape claims. Maybe Rolling Stone, maybe.
What?
Maybe did that.
Yes.
And they published this girl's rape story, and then a lot of people were saying that wasn't accurate, and mm-hmm. that looked kind of funny, didn't it?
It did look funny. Their editor has gone under a lot of scrutiny for that, for only getting one side of the story, and giving a complete subjective point of view, and the first rule of journalism is to be objective.
Right. Oh, like, oh, well, at the victim's request, we did not ask... The other party. So, well, do you think there was a reason why they asked
right.
you not to?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because they weren't going to agree on what happened.
Right, yeah, and that just seems like it... The popular opinion is obviously to go ahead and 100% agree with her completely, and just because of all the allegations that get thrown around these days with, like, Bill Cosby and that's just someone else that's relevant, or the Duke lacrosse team.
Yeah.
But, and the thing is, it's all about what headline is going to look the best. That's what it boils down to. And that's a cynical way of looking at it.
Yeah, it's like UVA gang rape. victim speaks out or whatever.
What does this headline say? Journalist publishes alleged name of. Okay, well, you saw.
I really got super into this and kind of got pissed off by this because I was like, well, I want to make sure, like, I don't know. Like, there's no way I can make sure. Kind of like similar situations, perhaps, say, in, like, Ferguson, Missouri, where, like, no one else was there at the time. You know, so, like, all these people that are, that like, up in arms about it aren't 100% certain on anything.
Right.
I'm not 100% certain, but I think that you should be before you report that somebody raped someone.
Mm-hmm.
Despite whether or not, like, I think, I don't know, like, women make up rape accusations.
Yeah, well, this, I mean, the Gawker article that got us curious about talking about this was the, it was her roommate.
Yeah, her roommate basically just wrote a letter to the school paper saying,
right.
Well, I know her, and I know that she was, she wouldn't lie about something like that. And it's like, yes, well, like, when they asked Michael Brown's parents, do you think your son did that? No parent is going to say yes.
Right.
Yes, I do. Like, yeah, well, obviously your friend may be a little biased towards one side.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you would think that. I mean, she's obviously going
to
have...
If she really did get raped, that's horrible. And I'm not trying to say, like, oh, hey, it's no big deal.
Well, yeah, nobody's gonna say that that's not a big deal.
Making up rape accusations is bullshit.
It is, and you don't know if... Nobody knows if she did or didn't, but her roommate obviously has a completely different perspective. And for one... She sees her the most, of course. But for two, she's obviously going to have a skewed perspective on the situation. As she said, you know, she was acting funny or so on and so forth. But the thing is like, and for the fraternity thing, it's very easy to make them...
Label them as bad guys.
To label them as bad guys. Because, like I said, the headline, to me, is better. You know, it's going to pull more... hits, clicks, whatever, if it says UVA rape victim or UVA student was raped by fraternity.
Yeah.
It's going to sound a lot better than, I mean, I don't think that.
Also easy to throw blame at a group of people as opposed to one individual that you would have to confront.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, and you know, and
I'm saying this fraternity... There were members in this fraternity that did this, as opposed to saying, well, that one guy right there.
Right, yeah, and it's just hard for me to make up my mind where I stand on all this, but the whole thing that makes it controversial was, you know, it's terrible that, you know, she even was compelled enough to say that somebody had raped her, but the whole point is Rolling Stone. This is a magazine that has been... very credible, and still one of the few successful magazines left. They're kind of ingrained in the fabric of our culture, and I think they're a great publication. But the point is when you don't check your sources.
Mm-hmm.
Working in journalism is you always have to have three sources is a rule of thumb to back it up. And the fact that they didn't even, that the UVA fraternity says, oh, hey, you know, well, no one even talked to us about it, you're just saying it. Without, I mean, no matter what, even if they had nothing to do with it and nobody did it, is still like they've been kind of drugged through the mud already.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just sucks because no matter what, now out of the situation, somebody's going to look bad. Like, you know, God forbid that she actually was subjected to this sort of treatment. And now it's like if it comes out as a lie, she's going to look bad. Mm-hmm. And now, no matter what, the fraternity is going to look bad. So it's just that is bad press for everybody involved. For Rolling Stone, for UVA, for the girl making the accusation, for the Gawker publishing the girl's roommate.
Well, some reporter was trying to say, like, to get back at her, he was going to release her information and stuff.
Oh.
And then people were giving him shit. And I think that, like, that's a little premature. Like, we don't have any facts.
Yeah.
And, like, she doesn't owe him anything.
Mm-hmm.
He was not at all involved in it. But, like, I think if, like, it's found out that she's lying, you know, you should be able to, like, call people out. And I think that it's not fair that just because, like, it... I don't know, that sounds really bad to say. Just because it might be true. Like, you have to... Like, I don't... I feel like she may be very... She may be telling the truth. But it seems... Like, they've punched a whole bunch of holes in these theories and these stories that she's saying. Like, they were saying it was not... She wasn't even at the party that was going on the night that was happening
yeah.
in question and all of that. And if she's lying, I think she should get some backlash. And I don't think that... never happens, though. It just, like, oh, well, okay. And then the guys had to go through the whole, like, being shamed and publicly humiliated and called a rapist and a sexual predator when they're not. And then the girls are like, moving on.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think that just on a surface level, if you look at it, it's kind of saying, like, somebody possibly getting raped is way worse than just a fraternity getting their name drug in the mud.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm just saying, like, the thought of that, it's like
such an unfortunate side effect that comes with something that, like, you may not have, like, guys that were falsely accused of rape when they really didn't do anything, how much bullshit is that they have to go through?
Right.
That, like, there's very few other situations in life that would put you in something as bad, like, as weird of a situation as that.
Yeah, and it's hard to overcome that no matter what obstacles you may face. And yeah, you know, the news cycle is normally like 48 hours or whatever, and I'm sure...
we'll find another case just...
Absolutely, like, but that. But still...
Rape's a big news headline.
Yeah, it just seems so predatory. Everything just seems... the media just seems so predatory with
rape
this.
Rape and race.
Yeah, it's... rape and race. I don't like that. And that makes me just kind of... it doesn't really sit well with me, the whole state of where media is now. That it is this predatory and this witch hunt, so to speak, of this specific person. I mean, you know, I get with the Bill Cosby thing. He's one of the, you know, most beloved TV stars of the past couple of generations, or, you know, one of the best comedians. But it just kind of seems like, you know, let's go out and get this guy because Charlie Sheen hasn't said anything stupid.
Did you see somebody filed a suit on against him?
Against
in California, against Cosby?
Yeah, that's what I was for.
Like, I didn't realize that anybody had officially filed a suit. Okay. I thought they were just accusations.
Mm.
But, yeah, she officially filed it. And then, like, the law that allowed her to do that was...
the statute of limitations?
It waives the statute of limitations if you were underage and you don't realize until then that you're psychologically affected because of it, which seems very subjective, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it can be, but the thing is...
like, say he got famous and had a lot of money, and then you decided that you had psychological effects.
Oh, okay, so yeah, I see what you're saying, but...
seems a little too convenient.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, we're all gonna have our subjective opinion going into it being, like, a male.
Right.
You're gonna see it from that point, like, oh my gosh, if that was me, I would freak out.
I just feel like it should be 100%... you should be 100% positive before somebody is shamed for life, put on a sexual predator list, put on all this, banned from walking towards schools and all that stuff. You should be 100% sure. Like, just like I feel like you should be 100% certain somebody murdered someone before you put them in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
absolutely. And
you have to, without a doubt.
Yeah. And you know, I think it just all goes into just the overall image that a fraternity, the image that they paint for the public, you know, like, it's just easy to...
they're just drinking and partying and,
you know,
whatever.
And you know, and there is that with Greek life and whatnot, but I just think that, you know, just even talking about, you know, somebody getting raped is a horrible thing, and, you know, I you know, you don't need my comment on that to make that... it's just obvious that that's how it is, but it just seems that nobody wants to get the side of the fraternity, and I just think it's sad that that's what the media gravitates to. I don't think that Rolling Stone even needed to comment on it.
Yeah, I don't
it just doesn't
get
even
how
seem.
That...
I know that they have think pieces and whatnot, but it's primarily like a music.
This girl coming out about rape is probably what's really gonna get to readers.
It just, I don't know. It just posts like that, people want someone wants to read about a victim. Like, everyone wants to be victimized with the media, and
so
it's all about
the victim.
It's all about relating to the victims and also siding with victims. And it just kind of, I like people that fall against that. They say, no, I don't want to be victimized and stuff like that. And it just all has to do with our generation of being millennials. But it's like we're so victimized. We're so whiny about everything. I need this now. Give me this now.
If you're not the victim, that just means you're the bully. You can't just be somebody that does stuff on their own. You're either the victim or the bully in this society.
Yeah. Come on,
Cole.
And it's ridiculous because it's dropped down into binaries through that. And doing that, and I think that's dangerous.
We've dumbed down so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just a double-edged sword with the social media culture that we live in. And it really wasn't like that with the generation before us, like Generation X, the people from the 80s or whatnot. It's that they were criticized. It seems like if you say something negative, like we talked about a few weeks ago, kind of jokingly, Cole, why do you hate everything? Because if you're not... If you're not challenging these, you're just going to get crap thrown out there, and nobody's going to get better. No one's going to say, Cole, your opinion on this movie was terrible. Your writing sucks. I hate it. Like, yeah, that, you know, and that's not going to make me better. That's not, you know, there's a line from the movie Whiplash that I think we talked about last week as well, was the worst thing you can say to somebody is good job. Because it's like, oh, well, yeah, I did a good job. Well, I'll just keep it mediocre.
And then they just get cocky and happy with it.
And that just all kind of comes down. It just makes me think of just like how much of an effect journalism has on our culture.
For real.
That sort of, I mean, you know, it's like, and the thing is like, oh, well, you're a jerk if you don't side with the victim. If you have an unpopular opinion, you're a bad person all of a sudden. And I just find that so ridiculous that nobody's challenging these opinions. And it's hard to make yourself like a pariah and throw yourself out there like that and make yourself so vulnerable. But, you know, a lot of people have done really well for themselves by going against popular opinion. And that people like...
Rosa Parks?
Well, I was just going to say something not so like... I was going to say just like somebody who is on the radio who is really transparent, like Adam Carolla or somebody like that puts himself out there.
Yeah.
But, and is really just puts it all out on the line, and that's the persona he has on the radio, and that's something that he's cultivated over the past 20 years on air. But I just find the whole thing really fascinating, the fact that we are in like a victimized culture. People want to be made the victim because it means feel sorry for me. And
right, instead of like, oh, hey, look at them, good job. Not like, it's like, oh, you poor thing. Why would you want people to just feel bad for you?
Yeah, people like feeling sympathized. Yeah, it's a pity thing. And I just think that just kind of goes on how we were raised. Because I remember always getting, and you know, it varies from family to family, just being congratulatory. Oh, you did this, good. And I feel like it honestly probably hurts you in the long run whenever you finally have somebody that tells you, this sucks, do better.
Well, but to some extent, though, it's like you're never going to know that what you're doing is all right. Or like, hey, you did a great job, man. Like, if you don't get, like, if you get that every time, I understand. But like, you know, like sometimes you have off days, and then there's days where, hey, you did great today.
Yeah, way to go. Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I can do.
Trust me, I love hearing that I did well, but... You know, it's hard hearing, Chris, and like I said, this is a really cynical way of looking at it, but it is, no, I don't want to say it's a fact, but it definitely is prevalent in society. Like, people, that does have an effect on somebody. Like, oh, well, you know, how dare you say that Interstellar was a bad movie, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my gosh, that was Christopher Nolan. He made The Dark Knight. It's, you know, it's a sin against movie making to say that. I just think that whole thing is just kind of... ridiculous, and just like not being able to go against popular opinion,
right?
And thinking how that can makes you a negative person, and I don't know, I don't really know how we got off to thinking.
Well, you were talking about movies just a second ago. Why don't we use that as a segue to go into a review? I believe you were going to do for us.
Yeah, just briefly.
Well, this is supposed to be one of the bigger movies of the year, huh?
Yeah, it is
a very Jesus-y movie.
Oh, no, it's not a very Jesus-y movie.
Biblical movie?
It's a biblical movie. The movie is Exodus, Gods and Kings, semicolon.
Is it kind of like an unfair advantage to put out like a biblical movie because you know that all the church groups are just going to go see it and you know all the people that are going to bash it are going to go see it just so they can find facts to bash it with or some shit like that?
No, not a movie like this. I mean, this is basically just a remake of the Ten Commandments and Passover.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just an update. And it's, you know, a lot of people aren't going to like it, and a lot of critics have already given it poor reviews. But it's a rare movie because the movie did, I think it was either between $150 and $200 million to make, something like that. And these kind of movies are rare now because obviously studios back the next Marvel movie or the next Batman movie or, you know, Transform, whatever, you know.
Yeah, what, like, fucking superheroes at the end.
Right, and so it's rare that this movie of this scale is actually being made. And the fact that it's coming out around Christmas time, obviously, it's because it has to do with that. I mean, it actually probably make more sense around Easter, but but it doesn't matter. It's got Christian Bale and Joel Edgerton as Moses and Ramses, and it's the story of, you know, Moses gets exiled, he, you know, comes back in the Ten Plagues, and he becomes the spokesman
the community activist.
He wants to liberate the Jews in Egypt, and I just feel so, like...
It's weird saying Jews.
Yeah, it just seems very politically
incorrect.
All right, you
Nazi.
Anyway, so it's a movie, and it has great special effects. The performances are okay. They're very stiff. The direction, I feel, is passionate. Not that I know anything about what it takes to direct a movie like that. But it just seems like the director, Ridley Scott, he did Aliens, Prometheus, Robin Hood, Gladiator, Black Hawk Down, movies like that.
It seems like this would be the next step, right?
Yeah, he's you just can't really place this guy in a box. But he does this movie. It gets gritty at times, and the special effects are good. And
what do you mean by gritty?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a very, like, the movie gets, it's grainy. It feels a little, like, some stuff feels a little more organic, doesn't feel so big and grand and broad, but it does get to that, and it's a good movie. I mean, I'd give it probably 3 out of 5 stars. I wouldn't say it's anything to rush to. There are plenty of other great movies to see in theaters, but it is an interesting movie that actually got made, because it's not going to make its money back. There's no way. I don't think so.
You don't think, even with all of those groups going to see it?
I don't know if they're going to see it.
Every time any what was the last one between Passion of the Christ and this?
There was one that came out earlier this year called Son of God that was based on the Bible miniseries.
Yeah, and everybody went to go see that. All those groups were flocking to see that.
I mean, no, that's a niche
group.
Maybe
I'm painting with too much of a broad brush.
Yeah, but it just, like, that's not that many people. It's got to appeal to wide audiences. To get, and those movies just don't really sell anymore because
religion's kind of out the door now.
Well, it's not even that. I'm just saying, like, a 14-year-old male is not going to want to go see that, and that's the primary, like,
moviegoers.
I think so. I mean, like,
really, you think it's 14?
I don't know. That's kind of specific, but I think I've heard something like that before.
I would say like 20. Something.
I just don't know if many people. I mean, would you really want to go sit through 2.5 hour
movie? No, definitely not.
I didn't mind it. I enjoyed myself, but I'm also not the casual moviegoer.
You would have picked it if you were just picking. What's at the theater?
I go see everything, if I just
kinda, you're probably the worst person. Like, you're gonna see. I already saw it.
Yeah,
I already saw it.
I always go to the movies by myself. Always, especially since I moved.
Is it weird when you go with people?
Sometimes. I mean, I went with somebody to see a comedy.
Do you do weird things during movies that are, like, weird when you're with other people?
What do you mean?
Like, little, like, notes and stuff.
No,
like,
I don't take notes anymore. I don't really take notes anymore. I just kind of sit there and stay quiet.
You, like, record on your phone, you're like,
no.
Awkward scene.
No, I just
Scarlett
remember.
Scarlett Johansson, less tits.
I just remember what, I just remember my thoughts of the movie, unless I wait like a week.
You should go watch a movie. The next one you do, will you just record it, like, sit in the very back?
No, they have people there that, like, see if you have phones.
No, well, I mean, like, we'll go to another one. You can go to another one. I'll buy you tickets to ticket to another one, and you can just go and like middle of the day, like a matinee, and just sit in the very back when there's like 3 people in it. And just, like, give your notes as the movie's going on, but, like, in that, like, whisper, like, oh, yeah,
That does not fly.
I overreacted a little bit too much. And just, I'll cut up the best parts of it and we'll play it on the podcast.
No, not a chance.
This is Cole, something of a movie.
Nope, I will not do that. Because
a minute and a half.
I'm very big on, like, do not talk during the movie. Do not. And when people do, I will physically turn around and, like, stare at them.
How many times have you done that?
What do you mean?
Like, called somebody out.
Not really off. No, I don't know. I'm really timid when it comes to that, but I want to. I've wanted to several times, and it's ruined a few movie-going experiences for me. But
give me the worst story.
Quickly. I can tell you right now, recently, I saw The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Is it Smaug?
Smaug. S-M-A-U-G. Anyway, I saw it when it was in theaters, I guess within the past calendar year. There was a group of people that were talking the entire time during the movie. And it
was it guys or girls?
It was a mixture. It was a mom and a son and like an aunt, it seemed like.
It was a family?
Yeah, it was like
usually families like behave together.
Not this one. They talked and gave their opinions. Oh, you know, that scene was so cool. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And then when the movie ended, they said, oh my god, I can't believe it ended right there. This is so anyway, they talked through the entire 2 hour and 50 minute long movie, and it was annoying. At one point, I actually got up, and I was like, well, I'm just going to go see another movie, and I'll just see this later. But
How long were you in there?
I mean, the movie's like 3 hours long.
How long before you walked up?
Well, I walked out about 30 minutes in, and then I got myself together, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to be mad. But
it just like ruined your day, huh?
It ruined my movie-going experience. Yeah, absolutely derailed it. And then theaters now, they have... You can get a beer or a wine or whatever. And I was at a local theater, an independent theater called River Oaks, and I saw a movie there on a Saturday night, and there was a couple in front of me that was drunk and kissing, and they were in their 40s, it seemed like, and they were very, very cavalier touchy. About their touching, like they didn't care, and it was... Very,
hey man, love is love.
Yeah, love is love, but
There's no love better than love.
I'm just a kind of get-off-my-lawn kind of guy, like leave me alone, let me be by myself. I don't want to be bothered right now. This is my time. Like, I don't get out of here. This is my... I don't know. I'm very territorial when it comes to my movie going. I'm very strategic when it comes to choosing a seat as well. Very, very strategic.
What is the best seat in the whole theater?
I like to sit on an end seat that's up high and is in a corner.
Not
that's
too
away
high,
from
though?
People. Not too high. Usually about 2 or 3 rows from the,
like,
from the top.
When you walk up normally, and like, the major... The most... I usually go to, like, the mall theaters or whatever, the regular ones, and... You have the basically like 3 sections. You've got the left, and then you got the stairs, and then you got the middle where the majority is, and then the stairs. And
I never
the right.
sit. Never sit in the middle.
Oh, you never sit in the middle. You're always on the outside.
Yeah, I like to. I don't like feeling trapped.
Yeah, I can see that. I hate. There's nothing worse than like when you gotta go pee and you're like, shit, I gotta ask 4 people to stand up real fast.
Yeah, I don't do that. I don't do that because it's, it's distracting, and it also defrays my enjoyment of the movie, because if I'm sitting on the end, I can just get up if I need to, or for whatever reason. I don't like to get up during movies, but yeah, I'm very strategic. I like to have my own space, and I'm going to do that tonight and tomorrow night when I go to the movies.
Do you sneak food into the movies?
No. I mean, like a Cliff Bar, but you never hear me like...
You can enjoy like a movie in a theater over like a Cliff Bar, you're like,
Yeah, I'll eat it.
I guess you could seem, you kind of numb to that whole... I've got to enjoy the experience. You're just like, oh, I'll just
get
watch
popcorn.
It.
Yeah, I mean, I go to the movies. I'll probably go see 3 movies this week in theaters.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
That's more than I've seen.
I saw 4 last week.
Yep. That's way more than I've seen in the year.
Yep. I mean, you know, we've talked about how often I go and whatnot. But, I'm just very picky about where I like to sit down and how I enjoy it and where I enjoy it and who I'm with and... I'm just very particular about it.
Okay, well, so you gave Exodus 3 out of 5?
Sure.
That's what you said, right?
Yeah, that is what I said.
I was making sure. I just got a text message from my buddy Sully, and you were actually out the week that he filled in.
Okay.
You listened to it, and you heard his Tales from the Tinder Vault. He's going to do one more.
Yep. Yep, you guys tried
another one.
Okay, cool. You guys tried to get me to do it, and I
kind of got scared.
I'm very weird about my sharing my personal information.
And Sully is shameless, so.
Okay, well, I'm going to take a back seat and let you guys take over this next segment.
I will take a quick break. We're gonna give him a call.
All right.
There's no need to pout, no need to cry, no need to shout, I'm telling you why. Mangria is coming to town.
Be the hit of the holiday party. Get Mangria in your town by using the Find Mangria button at CorollaDrinks.com.
Mangria is coming to town.
Forget the milk and cookies. Leave Santa what he really wants, Mangria. Order online now for Christmas and New Year's, or find a store near you at CorollaDrinks.com.
All right, we're back. Cole actually just stepped out for a little bit because he obviously didn't have the heart to listen to our good buddy Sully, who's going to be joining us for his second installment of Tales from the Tender Vault. What's going on, buddy?
How's it going, man? Thanks for having me back.
Well, man, that first story was pretty awesome, so we decided we'd delve deeper into that.
This is almost going to turn into a bad date segment for today.
But at least it's entertaining to everybody else besides you. As long as you can look back,
it's
and
entertaining,
laugh.
Right? Exactly. I can definitely do it at this point.
So, what do you got for us today?
Okay, so I just want to start off by saying, like, I am in no way a player, and I have probably like the worst game of any of your friends. Okay, I'm in no way some suave, smooth talking guy that just picks up chicks. I've been on like a handful of dates from Tinder. I've had some good ones. I'm actually, like, talking to a girl right now that we met on Tinder and went
nice.
Out. And that one went pretty good and stuff. But I've had a couple tragic experiences as well.
Is
so,
this one of them?
This is another one of them. I consider the Mensa story to be a tragedy as well. So this girl, her name is Rosie from Lafayette. And I was headed back to Houston from Baton Rouge one weekend, and I'd been talking to this girl, Rosie, for like a couple days, and I told her I'd be passing through Lafayette, and she insisted that I stop by. So it's a Friday night. I leave Baton Rouge, 7 o'clock, and I text her before I leave. I said, what's going on? And she texted me the whole time I'm driving, being real flirty and all that. So I get to Baton Rouge, or get to Lafayette, and I'd been there before, and I knew of a couple good restaurants, so I suggested we meet up at this little place called the Blue Dog. And it's that restaurant, it's made by that guy who, like, paints the paintings of the Blue Dog.
The Cajun guy?
The South American guy. Yeah. So it's, like, him or his son that owns this restaurant or something. It's not, like, super fancy, but it's kind of nice. So...
Okay.
I tell her to meet me there. You know, I didn't want any, like, creepiness, like me going to her house or anything like that. I don't ever say anything, like, about, like, Tinder being creepy, but I just imply that both parties are aware that there's a creepy element to Tinder.
Somebody could be trying to rape you.
Exactly. Or Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
So I meet her at this restaurant, and she gets out the car, she's walking up, she's drinking on a daiquiri. Okay, which is like my first thought is like, holy shit, we're in Louisiana. and the first thing she says to me is, you seem a little fatter than your pictures or something like that.
Shit.
And so it just like makes me like really nervous. And it like all my friends know like when I get nervous, I just start sweating like terribly. Really uncomfortable and it's really ugly. But so she tells me, she's like, oh, you seem a little fatter than on your pictures. And I was like, I don't even know what to say to that. But she's drinking on this daiquiri, and I told her before we walked in, I was like, you might not want to like bring that in. And she just like takes a couple big sips, and I chug a little bit of the rest of it or whatever. This girl's drunk is what I realized at this point. Is that this girl is slurring her words, being really slutty, and being really forward.
What do you mean by being really slutty? Just being forward? Is that what you meant?
Yeah, just completely, like, making, like, little comments. I don't know, just, like, oh, yeah, that's why we met up. You know, like, I'd make, like, a little flirty, something flirty, and she'd be like, you never know your luck. Or so, you know, just little, like, things like that that I think a sober Rosie might not have said. So we get in, we sit down at the table. She, like, orders a whiskey sour and chugs it in like 3 sips, and then is on to our next one. We like haven't even got our entrees yet, and this girl's already put back 2 drinks. And I'm just chilling on like, I'm chilling on like a Budweiser. Like I'm driving, so I'm like not even drinking, and I'm wondering like how awkward this is going to be while I'm sober. Well, we order a little appetizer, a little crawfish quesadillas come. I eat most of them, and before our waitress comes back to take our order, Rosie just puts her head down on the table and like falls asleep. Like, just passes out. And I thought
she didn't
was, like,
say anything
joking.
Before?
No, she's just, like, we're talking, I'm, like, eating, and, like, whatever, like, we kind of don't say anything, and she just kind of, like, slowly, like, leans forward,
the
and
drunk days.
Leans a little bit more forward, and then her eyelids, like, just are real heavy and just close up, and then she just puts her head down, completely unresponsive from here on forward.
How long is that going on?
All right, it was probably like a minute before the waitress walks up and asks if like everything's okay. But during that minute, I'm like tapping this girl's shoulder. I like pulled one of her hairs out of her forehead, like just to see if like, you know, I could like shock her into, I don't know.
I can just imagine the panic in your head going like, all right, did anybody see that? Do they think I did this? Do they think I hit her? Do they think I drugged her? What's going on? And then just slowly being like, yeah, I promise I didn't have anything to do with this.
At this point, I'm sweating through my dress shirt. I'm, like, so nervous. My head looks just like I dunked it out of a shower. And my pits are, like, 18-inch pancakes up to my shoulders of sweat. I was looking rough. And I was definitely looking like I was doing something wrong, like nefarious. Like, a sweaty guy at this table with a girl passed out. It just wasn't looking good for me.
You see that on Tinder, on a hookup app?
This should be a rating system for you should be able to go back and like grade her like, oh yeah, this girl showed up to a date, blackout,
like Uber?
Passed out. Exactly. You can give them stars.
Yeah.
That might be a good way for a good program from escort service, but I don't know about dating.
So what did you do? Did you just peace out?
No, well, yes, I did. But I grabbed her phone and I called a couple people. The first person didn't answer, and the second one, I was like, hey, I know this is really weird, but your friend, I'm on a date with your friend, and she's really drunk, and she fell asleep, and, like, I don't really know her or anything. And the girl's just like, oh, yeah, like, like,
she
oh, yeah,
that
like,
a lot.
Like it wasn't, like, oh, yeah, like, no big deal. And I'm like, okay, well, you might want to come get her. I was like, we're at the Blue Dog downtown. And her friend's like, okay, I'll be right there. I was like, just take care of her, make sure nothing happens to her. I'm like, okay. Not a problem. I got you. I'll watch out for her. As soon as I hang up the phone, paid the bill, and deuced.
Did you go through recent calls or whatever, or were you just like randomly guessing in her phone book?
I called literally the two most recent people in her phone book.
That's smart.
And I got the second one. So I let her know. I feel like I did my part. Like if you're gonna show up on a date and pass out, you know, I don't have any obligation here, right?
Yeah, no, none at all. And the waitress obviously kind of realized, I guess, after a while, like, this guy doesn't mean any harm. He's just as weirded out by this as we are.
I hope that
there, she was
people
like,
weren't thinking
what if
something
she was just
weird.
Like, just go, you can go, just, we got it, don't worry. It. This happens all the time.
But I felt bad because, like, I wasn't about to just, like, deuce, you know what I mean, on the waitress and, like, dine and dash. Well, like a $30 tab. So I had to pay, but I
actually,
obviously
she said
use, like,
she was gonna
card.
She said she was gonna cover this, so just she'll get it when she wakes up. All right.
Hey, drunk girl's got it at table 13.
Right, this is what she gets. This is what happens when you fall asleep on a date.
It was really one of the most uncomfortable moments like I've ever had on a date. No, probably the most uncomfortable.
Was it?
Besides anything like sexually going wrong, you know, like
yeah, because I didn't have to reach that point.
Bed. Exactly. And if I had reached that point with her, then we might be talking a little more Bill Cosby type
stuff. Yeah, because she probably was not going to be very active during that whole thing.
No, and I don't think I could get into something like that either.
Yeah, I don't get, I don't get the
so
fetish.
Strange.
Some people love it, though.
hey, darling, I love you, but could you just pretend like you're asleep while we have sex tonight?
Yeah, act like a dead fish while I'm fucking you.
It's not my style.
I understand that you've been stranded yesterday.
Yeah, recently.
What happened?
Well, I've been out of a car the last couple weeks, so I took a Greyhound to back to Baton Rouge to finish my finals.
How are Greyhounds?
And
like you run into a lot of fun characters.
I'll just take you a quick trip to my very first Greyhound moment. I had to sit diagonal from a transgender person thing. It was a man that was dressed as a woman, had some woman bodily parts.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not judging. It's just not my personal taste.
Maybe a little awkward to be here.
It has the reason why I hated this person, this transgender, is not because they were a transgender, but simply because of the terrible personality they had. This guy or she or however you're supposed to address, you know, refer to them, was like so. She was such a sassy little transgender, she wouldn't like share a seat with other people. Like, it was a full bus, like 50 people packed on this bus. Smells like shit, completely packed. No, like, they let one final person on the bus because they always like book more people than there actually are sometimes.
Yeah.
Like during the holiday season, and this was like a year ago when I rode Greyhound last. And I just remember watching this like little Mexican kid like get on the bus, probably like 19, 18 years old, and he walks up on the bus and he sees the open seat right next to the transgender. It's the very front seat in the bus. And I was like the seat behind that and to the right. And I watched that kid, he like sees it and he like stands up on his tippy toes and like looks around the bus for another seat, any seat. And he just walks past the transgender. And I like kind of looking at him because I had heard the bus driver talking about how that was the only seat left on the bus, like literally a minute before that kid gets on. And I watch him walk all the way to the back of the bus, finds no seat, and I'm like watching him. His head just drops in like horrible, horrible agony as he slowly walks back to the front of the bus to sit next to that transgender for a 6.5-hour trip.
Was she mean to him?
No, she was actually very friendly and very nice. But such a diva, though. Such a diva. But anyway, yeah, so that's how I get stranded.
Yeah,
so
back to that.
I'm leaving Baton Rouge last night. First of all, I was supposed to leave Wednesday, but apparently if somebody buys a ticket and they don't pay the $20 transfer fee to put in your name, you're not allowed to get on the bus.
What?
So I was kicked off from getting on the bus Wednesday. And they told me that I had to buy a new, I had to pay the $20 transfer fee or I could buy a new ticket. A new ticket's like $10. So I'm like, okay, well, obviously I'm just going to buy a new ticket. But it was too late to get a ticket for that bus. So I had to get one for the next day. So I get a ticket for yesterday, last night. Or yesterday at like 2:00. Get on the bus. Packed house like usual. We literally get 10 minutes outside of Baton Rouge when the bus starts breaking down.
Like smoke coming out of it and stuff?
No, they were like losing power or something, and the bus driver had to like pull over to the side of the road and then like leave the bus off for like a couple minutes and then start it back up and then keep going. So it took us like an hour to get to the first gas station, which is like right outside of like Baton Rouge, still in West Baton Rouge Parish. So we get to this gas station. We're there for 2 hours waiting around mechanics to come, quote unquote, fix the bus. Finally, after being tired of smelling the fumes from the like shitter on board the bus and the nasty people that are on board, I decide I'm going to go take a shit. And I get up and I walk off the bus. And as I'm getting off the bus, I ask the bus driver, I say, what's the timeline on this? Like, I was getting out of here because it's already been, we left Baton Rouge 3 hours ago, man. And he's like, oh, I can only tell you what they're telling me. And they say they got somebody on the way. And I'm like, you told us that an hour ago, dude. We're 10 minutes outside of Baton Rouge. And I was kind of an asshole to him, but like, we had been waiting for 3 hours at this point.
Yeah, I can see why you would be a little irritated.
So he gives me no answer. I decide I'm going to take a shit. I go to the bathroom. Take like a, you know, nice, relaxing 15-minute dump. Played a little game of Tetris.
All right.
Read a little article on PC. And just like, whatever, a regular dump for myself. I walk out of the bathroom, buy a bag of chips, walk outside, and the bus is gone. The bus is fucking gone.
Was your stomach just dropping? You're like, oh, god damn it.
I specifically remember yelling the words fuck, fuck, and fuck over again at the top of my lungs.
Do you think that the bus driver left out of spite to you? It was like, yeah, fuck that guy.
You know, I like to think that because it, like, makes me feel better and, like, allows me to hate somebody for what happened.
Right.
But to be honest, I feel like, you know, human nature, like, he was as pissed as I was of waiting that 3 hours,
yeah.
I guess. Maybe he wasn't, you know, because he's getting paid. I don't know. But it was a shitty situation.
But luckily, you were just outside of Baton Rouge, though, so did you have somebody come get you?
Yeah. Well, first, I wanted to try and get the bus to turn around because I had my computer, my backpack, my laptop, all sitting on my seat in my chair. And, like, in my backpack is, like, my high school student ring and my passport and my TWIT card and, like, pretty much insurance card, anything you need to, like, steal my identity and, like, go get a loan name is on that bus. And, like, I knew that they made 6 stops before they get to Houston. So that's, like, 6 different groups of people getting on and off. Like, that backpack's not making it to Houston.
Oh, no way.
So I called the 1-800 number for Greyhound. Well, it's, like, a 214, but I called their, like, main line, and it's a customer service line, and they can't do shit for me. I'm like, I just need to talk to a bus driver. I need them to get my stuff right now or come turn around and get me. And they're like, oh, sir, we actually we can't contact bus drivers from this line or whatever. Like, you got to call one of the stations. I was like, okay, can you transfer me to a station? And they're like, no, we actually don't have the capability to transfer you to a station. Well, we can give you our number. I'm like, okay, that'll do. So I get the number to the Baton Rouge station. I call them. One of the options on there is an automated message. The other option, send you back to the 1-800 number. So I call the Houston line.
So it's just a big circle.
Just a big circle. Call the Houston line. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to tell me. Like, well, if your bags make it, they'll get here. And all this BS. I quickly realized the bus is not turning around to get me and arranged for one of my buddies to come pick me up. Had to buy another freaking ticket for this morning to make it back.
So that's 3 total, right?
But if you count my ticket to Baton Rouge, 4. But yeah, 3 tickets to return home. And I remember when the bus first started breaking down, the bus driver made some little snarky comment, like, I just want to thank all of you for being loyal Greyhound customers. Like, and he mentioned some competitor, like, not going over to something, these other guys, because like, you'll quickly realize they're just like Greyhound. And I'm like, nice sales pitch, dude. You completely help yourself differentiate your company from the competition.
Yeah, way to go, man.
And then also, thanks for letting our bus break down for 3 hours and ditching me.
So did you ever get your stuff back?
I got to Houston Terminal today, and my backpack did not make it. They gave me a form to fill out, though. They gave me a form. I could fill out my form, and I fill out my form, and you know, who knows? Maybe I'll get
it. They'll probably put it in a folder and never look at it again.
The work in the terminal, I like screamed at the top of my lungs. This lady, I go up to this at the customer service, the most sluggish looking lady you've ever seen. Big old fat lady. Just looks like Jabba the Hutt's perfect wife. And I explained to her this situation, and like with passion and angst, and expressed to her how vital it is for me to get my backpack back and all these things. She doesn't even say a word.
Then, like,
she looks at me.
Just stared at you?
No. She looks at me. She takes my paperwork out of my hand and then picks up her phone where she had, I guess, one of her friends waiting while she dealt with me, and she starts chatting with her friend as she slowly sauntered across the terminal to the manager's office. And I was sitting there, I was like, take your fucking time! At the top of my lungs. Like, 18 people at the Greyhound station, like, turned to look at me. So, it was a frustrating day.
You lost all your shit then, pretty much.
Yeah, I lost one of my buddy's accounting books. It was like $300, and I lost my computer, which is like brand new, and I lost like my wallet with like all my documents in it and stuff I needed for work. Just everything, really.
That's not cool, dude. I didn't even do that.
The worst part. The worst part is I called like every single Greyhound station between Baton Rouge and Houston, which is just two, which is like Lake Charles and Lafayette, and neither of them did exactly what they told me. I told them, I was like, can you please go on the bus and get my backpack and like give it to the bus driver or something? And they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna take care of you, no problem, we don't get that backpack, don't you worry about it, we're gonna get your ticket refunded. They're like telling me all this shit, and then like none of that comes
true. Yeah, they just want to get you off the phone.
I'm going to slash every one of the Greyhound tires.
You should.
These days.
Show them what's up.
When they're like a mass Greyhound bus breakdown in one day, like there's not even enough tires in the Greyhound inventory to stock all the tires I've slashed, and they're going to listen to this podcast and know it was me. But.
And then you're going to, yeah, this is going to be evidence.
It's going to be evidence.
And this podcast is going to blow up.
That's it. That's all we need to do. Slash some tires and put us on the map.
That's what we gotta do, man. Hey, thanks again for sharing your stories with the world, man. We really appreciate it.
No problem, dude. It's great. Thanks for letting me fill some of my shitty moments in the last few weeks off my chest.
Yeah, man. Anytime you feel like venting, just let us know. We'll give you a call. It's @thesoul_Ryan, correct, on Twitter?
Yes. For Twitter. Yeah, you got it.
For the Twitter. All right, man. Well, we'll have you on in a couple weeks. To share all right, some
thanks for the therapy session.
Hey, no problem, man. We'll be right back, guys.
Pass the gravy. Oh, just pass the gravy. Pass the gravy.
Just pass it, pass it.
Pass the gravy. Oh, just pass the gravy. Pass the gravy.
What do you say we wrap this sucker up?
Whoa. Yeah, I'm ready.
You know what time it is?
Nope.
You don't know what time it is, but you're ready.
I'm ready.
You're ready to end the podcast?
I'm ready for anything.
You just want to end it now. We can just end it.
This is going to be the last episode.
That's been one of your things where you just storm out.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Answers. It's my favorite part.
Okay.
You're not so much.
I like to have more intelligent questions sent to me.
You don't think that our listeners are intelligent?
Nope. No, they are. They're cool. They're inventive. I couldn't think.
Words by Cole, if you would like to let him know your thoughts on what he thinks about you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a nice guy. I just, I couldn't think of some of the questions that we get.
So you're just jealous?
No, is that the way it sounds?
Jealous that you can't think of them?
No. No, I just don't, my brain doesn't operate that way.
All right. Well, start off with number one, and that comes from our buddy Thomas Flack. And he asks us, is a man that works with batters considered Batman? If so, should he work with baseball batters or cooking batters? I would say that a man that works with batters would be a hitting coach, perhaps.
Is a man... What is he...
If he's talking about baseball.
Yeah, like, I get that there's play on
I think
work.
He just wanted... I think that's a... That's what Thomas was going for.
What's the context? That's what I'm asking. Is he just what made him think about this? I don't get
it. See, he didn't tell us that.
That's what I don't like.
It's questions. You don't need to. That's kind of the fun part about it. You just. All right, let's answer it. Let's think of what we can.
Yeah. I like cooking batters. Sorry.
If you worked with cooking batters, would you be? That'd be more of a cook, though. You know, like either, like both of the things you would work for that he gave us examples of already have occupational names. Like hitting coach, like a swing coach.
Well, I mean, if you work with cooking batters, it doesn't make you like Batman. That's an absurd.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
But if you work with like a baseball
like
bat,
you could, like, that'd be a funny nickname to use.
Yeah,
like, you'd be like, hey, look, I'm a Batman.
Or Bat Boy. Bat Boy is an occupation.
But, like, what if it was like, at what age do you have to become. Like, when you turn 18, are you a Batman?
No, if you're achieving bats, you're still a bat boy. You're still a bat boy.
Even if you're 35.
Yeah, you're still a bat boy.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, of course you are. It doesn't change. I'm a Batman. No, you're not a Batman. You're not a Batman.
How old is too old to become a bat boy?
If you're over the age of 10 and you start becoming a bat boy at, like, 12.
But don't the major leagues have, like, I think they have to have kids. They're only, like, high school or junior high level, at least, that are, like,
yeah, but they probably
capable of doing shit.
I just think it's odd.
Yeah, I don't know if you get paid to do it.
No, probably not.
I guess that's why they want the kids.
Yeah, I mean, if
child labor.
If cheerleaders don't get paid, then I guarantee you, bat boys don't get paid.
All right, let's move on then.
Okay.
Lizzie Gierken asks us, or no, she states, I guess this is a question.
It has to be a question, or it's not going to make it in the segment.
Cabbage. Lettuce's crazy uncle? Cabbage is sort of similar to lettuce, so I could see how... I mean, I wouldn't say it's crazy. I would say it's just like the reserved grandparent.
I hate
cabbage. It's like bland.
I hate cabbage by association.
But neither one of them really have like a taste to them.
I like lettuce.
But like lettuce doesn't have a taste. It's like lettuce is more of like a cold thing.
Yeah, it's great.
Then cabbage is more...
Either. It's crunchy. No, I don't even understand how cabbage would be. It's crazy. No, it's not. This is why.
You're really getting flustered.
Yes!
Lizzie, you have really struggled.
I want to be asked something good. Something topical. I mean,
dude,
I guess topical.
Well, I just right Googled word. Them and put them together.
Well, I don't like cabbage because similar. It's in coleslaw, which has mayonnaise, I think.
But you're just thinking about mayonnaise. That has nothing to do with either of those two things.
Nah, I don't like it.
I'll allow it. I'll say yeah. It is the crazy uncle.
Okay, sure.
Your mood just went.
Well, I just
right up here, way down low.
No, I don't know. I just.
Why do you get so upset?
The questions.
Just answer them.
I did.
It's part of the fun.
That's how I. Oh, okay. So, okay, you made it have fun with the next one.
Who is our country's most hated person?
Oh God.
That's from Ryan Finley. Gosh, that's a good question, though.
I don't know if it's a good question.
Who would you like? Hey, maybe we can't give Ryan a top, like a number one, but let's compose.
Like right now, like I mean,
you and I can compose.
Who's the country's
a top
most,
three list? Maybe.
Who's the most country's hated person as of right now, like today?
Yeah, I guess.
Or
that's what he's
like,
asking.
Or overall, because everybody would say.
Yeah, right. Like Hitler, Osama bin Laden.
Yeah,
those are the go-tos. But like, let's just say today, like right now, who do we hate the most?
Darren Wilson.
That's only a portion of the country, because another portion of the country...
Like, universally, who do we hate?
As a country. Or just, yeah, worldwide. It can be local.
I don't know who everybody universally hates. I don't really focus
my energy
not like... towards hate. I mean, a lot of people really don't like Dane Cook.
But still, I don't think that he's, like, anywhere near the most hated person in the country.
Let's see. Who else is somebody... People don't like Lindsay Lohan.
Lohan?
Lindsay Lohan? Lindsay Lohan?
Lohan?
It's Lohan, but...
Lohan?
Lohan.
Lohan?
People don't really like her.
What about...
People don't like Howard Stern.
But he has a lot of fans that
do
like
Yeah,
him.
That's not a good one. I redact that.
See, because I was trying to... I was thinking Obama, because Obama has, like, a lot of people that are pissed, but he also has a lot of people that are super...
Yeah, but that's not... That's too easy. It's, oh, the president. Okay, that's just...
Well, I mean, he wanted an answer. What about Kim Kardashian?
Kanye West. I think
Kanye West.
I love Kanye West, though.
But a lot of people hate him.
That's their problem.
What about Drake? Drake could be the... Justin Bieber!
Yeah, probably
Justin fucking Bieber.
Yeah, well, he's also got 50 million followers on Twitter.
I'll say...
That's crazy to think that.
Justin Bieber, Kim Kardashian. I can't think of anybody else. And I'm just going to throw out...
Why do they have to be musicians?
I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, if you ask any, like, 10 people on the street, I'm just thinking who...
They're going to say Osama bin Laden.
Okay.
That's easy.
So, but, like, living, then. Okay, like, obviously, historical, it would be Hitler
and Osama bin Laden. I'm just curious what kind of answer he's looking for.
I'm going to say Justin Bieber. That's your answer. The country's most hated person would probably be Justin Bieber.
I'm going to say, I'll just agree. Fine. Justin Bieber.
You think so?
Sure.
You just don't want to answer it.
That's the answer.
All right. Let's move on then.
Okay.
Dustin McCullough says, could the grass always be greener on the other side because that grass is really just AstroTurf? Now, I kind of have something that's a bit of a technicality, and that's the fact that it's AstroTurf, which is not grass.
No, but...
But it would... I understand what he's getting at. Because, you know, like, the grass doesn't ever die if it's AstroTurf, but right. It may fade.
Right.
It may fade.
It's more of an expression. What's this guy's name?
Dustin McCullough.
Dustin, it's more of a... It's more of a metaphor. You're taking it literally. So I think you're misconstruing what the point of the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence means. But so he's saying, could the grass be greener on the other side of the fence if that grass is really just AstroTurf?
Well, I mean, he's asking if that could be the reason why.
Oh, could that be the reason why?
Because it's always greener. Because you don't have to take care of it, so you can do the same amount of work. That your side's going to die.
That's not the reason why the expression arose.
Right. So obviously he I don't think he was.
He's either making a joke.
I think he was trying to make a joke. A lot of people try to make jokes when they're saying shit. So then we just kind of overanalyze it and probably ruin it for them.
That's the point.
But now he won't use that again.
Good. Don't use it anymore. It sucks.
I've always thought that if the grass is always greener on the other side, you might just be a shitty gardener. Because, you know, like, maybe you have some shit to take care of that you haven't done.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can we go to the next one?
It's actually from my little bro. He decided he was going to start listening to the podcast and hit us up with some questions. Okay. At WMiddleton713.
Whoa, he didn't get a free plug.
Well, he tweeted it, so
okay.
I hit him up on that. And he gave us two questions. I thought we were good, and
okay. Why
the fuck not? I don't care.
Can I be mean to your little brother?
You can be as mean as you'd like. You can be as mean as you'd like. Go ahead.
Okay.
If you could watch any two historical figures fight each other, who would you choose?
I have an answer. Abraham Lincoln and Robert E. Lee. Ooh. Boom. Done. Close it.
I'd kind of maybe P. Diddy and Drake.
No. They're not historical.
What about...
This is a good question.
Like... Who's somebody that's like the strongest Jewish person and Adolf Hitler?
The strongest Jewish person?
Historically.
Drake.
I don't think he's Jewish.
He is.
Is he really?
Yeah. But no, you're thinking too hard, man. You just gotta think. I mean, you could even say somebody like John Travolta versus Sylvester Stallone. I was thinking about that they were in the...
What if I just pick something like super simple, like Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield?
They're not historical figures, though.
They're sort of.
You got to think of like. Mike did you Tyson's pay attention historical. In history class?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Historical figures. Obviously, I'd like to see being from Sam Houston State University. I'd like to see Sam Houston kick Stephen F. Austin's ass. Okay. I'd watch that.
Did they dislike each other?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Obviously, you didn't learn your Texas history.
Nope.
You son of a bitch.
I was in 7th grade, and I did not care.
I remember I moved here in 7th grade, and that was when you did take Texas history. And I was just like, you have a whole class of history just for one state? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's cool.
Like, no other state does it. That's weird.
I just bashed it, but yeah, it is cool.
No, it's kind of cool, but it's kind of just like weird coming from someplace else. What the hell?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So is that your answer? Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So he has another one?
The last one.
Okay.
If a blind person is walking their seeing eye dog, do they have to pick up after it?
Ooh. No.
Do you have to carry a handicap sticker
to warrant that you don't have to? They have something draped over their back that indicates that they are indeed a seeing eye dog. Or if they're inside of a pizza
but
parlor,
then
it's
I
pretty
have
obvious.
A question from that question that is, should... The dog have to learn how to pick up himself.
No.
I mean, he's an assistant. He's helping. He can do just about everything.
Right.
Shouldn't he be able to, you know?
No.
If I can learn how to wipe.
No.
You know?
No, a blind person. That blind person should not. No, that's an exception.
Wouldn't it be weird if it was just socially acceptable to shit anywhere as long as you picked it up, put it in a bag, and then threw it away?
More
like,
so.
Like you could just see people carrying like disgusting bags on their wrist. Or like they'd just be like animal people, you know?
You know
like,
me. You know me. I don't like talking. I don't like bathroom talk.
This is definitely one of those where Curtis would love. He would chime in on.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, he would chomp at the bit for this one.
But
I don't. Right. I don't.
You're just not as excited.
No, I don't get excited about talking about.
It's unfortunate.
This is not an Adam Sandler movie.
You were really ragging on Adam Sandler earlier.
Not him specifically.
Okay, well then let's settle the debate. I think that Adam Sandler has done enough funny shit that I know he's put out some really shitty movies lately. He's probably not going to put out a bunch of like, good
shit. The
past
15 years.
Okay, like, when was Billy Madison?
1995.
That was not 15 years old. But...
That movie was made in 1995.
Okay, do you think Billy Madison was good?
Yeah.
What about Mr. Deeds? Mr. Deeds is pretty good.
Yeah.
That was within
the last
15.
Last one that was good, was Mr. Deeds.
Well, IMDb, and let's look at him.
Billy Madison, huh?
Let's go look at him. Like, I want to look at the...
How did we come to this?
Well, because you were just bashing Adam Sandler, and I feel like the guy's a funny dude. Yeah.
His movies are terrible. I could give a shit less what
but
he does.
But he's not necessarily always in control of it.
Dude, if you saw Grown Ups too.
Oh, I saw Grown Ups. The first Grown Ups wasn't too bad.
I'm sure it was terrible.
Did you see it?
No.
I've seen a movie that you haven't seen.
Yeah, I only saw Grown Ups 2 because I reviewed it, and I gave it 0 stars.
But how do you see Grown Ups 2 if you've never seen Grown Ups 1? Did you watch the last Star Wars movie and then judge the whole
God,
thing?
Oh my God, No, I'm calling it. I'm not having this debate.
Did you watch the last Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, I'm not it's Grown
and
Ups,
only that?
Though. It's Grown Ups.
But if there's a 2, how do you not watch the first one before?
It's Grown Ups. It is a terrible, terrible...
That one actually was not bad. It wasn't. I'm not saying it was great, but it was no. Like okay.
I don't accept that.
I didn't feel like I wasted.
I don't accept that. Rob Schneider is one of the top billed cast members. Chris Rock is though, and I do like Chris Rock. But
Kevin James, pretty funny.
No,
I like Kevin James. You don't like King of Queens?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Gosh, you just hate stuff, man.
No, I don't. I love a lot of things. You never asked me what I love. Like,
what else was he in?
Who?
And we're gonna edit this part out too.
What else is Adam Sandler in? Bill, I'll just name you several good Adam Sandler movies right now. I will give you
Hold on.
Wedding Singer, Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Those are like Happy Gilmore.
I said Happy Gilmore.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Just go with it.
I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Terrible.
Was bad. Don't Mess the Zohan was not very good.
Nope, terrible.
Click
is known for being good. I don't think
I thought it was pretty good. 51st Dates wasn't bad.
No, it's not.
And that was within the last 15.
Yeah, that was, 10 years ago?
Yeah. Did you ever see Pauly Shore's Dead?
No, but I heard about it.
He was only a voice. In 8 Crazy Nights was technically...
yeah, but I never said that was good. Little Nicky. I liked Little Nicky a child. 14.
Did you see Punch Drunk Love? That was pretty good.
Yeah, but that's not like an Adam Sandler movie. If you know what I mean.
He's in it. It is an Adam Sandler. He acted in it.
Yeah, but it's not like a Happy Madison production.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. What was the one he did where he was... Jack and Jill, where he was both of them? That was awful.
Terrible. I didn't see it, but terrible.
So on that fantastic note...
No. You opened this can of worms.
I opened the can of worms. Where are we going from that?
We're
going
to dissect every single one of Adam Sandler's movies.
Okay. If you want to.
It's Old Night Fall. I'm kidding. I don't want to talk about Adam Sandler anymore. I don't want to talk about Adam Sandler.
You're just done?
I'm done with Adam Sandler talk, yes.
I hope he comes out with a movie and it's just like some role where you're just like, damn it, I was wrong about him.
I do too. He's great in Punch Drunk Love, but that's not a... That's not an Adam Sandler movie. Like, it's just like the days of him being funny as a comedian, I think, are over. I think he's so derivative of himself. It's just too far gone.
Yeah, I could see that. But so. I still think he'll be funny. And
well, he's got a Netflix deal coming out. He's going to have movies released on Netflix exclusively. I believe it's 5 movies.
Like straight to that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, well. Why don't we end it on that note?
Why do we have to put labels on it?
That's a very interesting,
I think so too,
route to finish with. But follow us on Twitter.
That was the epilogue. We did a little epilogue today. Usually we
end it.
Yeah, usually end it after answers, but we just did a nice little epilogue.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it's fine.
A little tangent.
Hopefully people enjoyed it.
At Pass the Gary Pod, you can email us your questions for answers at passthegarypod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
At Words by Cole for Cole.
Yes.
At Alex J. Middleton. And our buddy Curtis at Curtis Chafin. We'll be back next week. Pass the gravy, bitches.
This is a song. This is a new song. It's through the eyes of one of the greatest people alive, I feel. The Lunch Lady. Woke up in the morning, put on my new plastic glove. Served some reheated Salisbury steak with a little slice of love. I got no clue what the chicken pot pie is made of. Just know everything's doing fine down here in Lunch Lady Land. Well, I wear this net on my head, 'cause my red hair is falling out. I wear these brown orthopedic shoes, 'cause I got a bad case of the gout. I know you want seconds on the corn dogs, but there's no reason to shout. Everybody gets enough food down here in Lunch Lady Land. Well, yesterday's meatloaf is today's Sloppy Joe's. And my breath reeks of tuna, and there's lots of black hairs coming out of my nose. In Lunch Lady Land, your dreams come true. Clouds made of carrots and peas. Mountains built of shepherd's pie. And rivers made of macaroni and cheese. But don't forget to return your trays and try to ignore my gum disease. No student can escape the magic of Lunch Lady Land. Oh, hoagies and grinders, hoagies and grinders, hoagies and grinders, navy beans, navy beans, navy beans, hoagies and grinders, hoagies and grinders, navy beans, navy beans, meatloaf sandwich, sloppy go, sloppy go, sloppy go, come on, sloppy go, you die. Dreamt one morning that I woke up to see all the pepperoni pizza was a-looking at me. It screamed, why do you burn me and serve me up cold? I said, I got the spatula, just do what you're told. Then the liver and onion started joining the fight, and the chocolate pudding pushed me with all its might. And a chop suey slapped me and it kicked me in the head. It's called revenge, Lunch Lady, said the garlic bread. I said, what did I do to make you all so mad? They said, you got flabby arms and your breath is bad. Then the green bean said, you better run and hide. But then my friend Sloppy Joe came and joined my side. He said, if it wasn't for the lunch lady, the kids wouldn't eat ya. You should be shaking her hand and saying, pleased to meet ya. She gives you a purpose and she gives you a goal. You should be kissing her feet and kissing her mole. So now all the angry fools just leave me alone, and we all live together in a happy home. Thanks to Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe, yeah. Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe, yeah. Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe, come on. Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe. Well, me and Sloppy Joe got married. We got 6 kids and we're doing just fine. Down in Lunch Lady Land.